Hey guys, welcome back to the Green Mile. This is Kelly
and Misty,
and we are here today to talk to you guys and each other about the family annihilation murder suicide that Joseph Zaccardi of Abington, Massachusetts committed. So how are you today?
Good. I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm trying to get my notes in order, so I'm trying to do better about my notes this week.
Well, I didn't. Anyways. So you just wing it.
Just wing it. Yeah.
It's the way I'm living life right now.
Yeah, I think that as long as they're written down and you can find them. Okay. So, do you have any family murder or just murder suicide facts?
Well, I did. If y'all listened to the last episode, you know I already gave my fact
you
away,
did.
Guys. So
that's why I called it family annihilation. Yes.
So I've had to come up with something else quickly. But I found this interesting website called gunviolencearchive.org. And there are a lot. And it says at the top, murder/suicides in 2020. And there are a lot, y'all. There are... Let me tell you how many pages there are. There are 3 pages.
Oh, my word.
And this is February. So...
And when she says, case, like, page, it's like you scroll, like...
Like a website. You know, like you
right.
finish one page
yeah.
and then you can go to the next page.
Like, so there's probably, like, what, like 40 listed per page?
I don't know.
30,
no,
probably.
I count it, but I don't know.
No, there's a lot.
So, in February, though, there's been... How many did I say? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7... What is today?
Today is the 9th.
February 9th. And there's already
right.
been 7.
Yes.
3 on one day. 3 on the 7th, 2 on the 3rd, 1 on the 2nd, 1 on the 1st. And
wow.
this is like all over the U.S. So Utah, Georgia, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, Missouri, Arizona, and Louisiana.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, it's... Researching these cases, it's made me realize how prevalent they are.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's really like... Just because to me it's like just marked by so much desperation,
mm-hmm.
just makes you realize.
And I think sometimes like, no, that would be crass to say that. Sometimes things really make headlines and then some don't. So there's so many, like
right.
some of them it's like are picked up everywhere.
Yes. Yeah.
On every news station.
Right.
It's all across Facebook.
Right.
It just goes viral. And then
right.
some don't. So then you don't realize.
That there have
just
been so
how many,
many more.
There are.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I
and I don't know why that is. I don't know why some get picked up and some
Yeah,
don't.
I don't know. I don't know either. Because even like that one that we were talking about last week, Jane Peters,
mm-hmm.
she demanded like no funeral or anything,
mm-hmm.
but hers was picked up and like
right.
widely spread. So I don't know. but yeah. Okay, I have a couple murder-suicide facts. So familicide, and that's where you wipe out like the entirety of your family, makes up 50% of all mass killings.
Oh.
Yeah. So a lot of mass killings are not random or unintentioned. Usually, well, half of them are like
family.
And a familicide is like where you wipe out your entire like immediate family
mm-hmm.
circle. And the most common hallmark of the possibility of a murder-suicide happening where someone wipes out their entire family plus themselves is domestic violence, most commonly unreported, but like extended family would know about it.
Okay.
Yes. And then also I found this really interesting, like not explanation, but... James Fox is a criminologist at Northeastern University, and he said murder by proxy, where you kill someone else. Ooh, smell this one. It smells like licorice. I have this black candle that's called Witch's Potion, and it's my favorite.
I like that.
Isn't that
neat? I
really
like this one, though. Pumpkin and bourbon.
Yes, that one smells good.
My ADD picked up,
my all-time favorite is the lemon. That's
yeah,
lemon.
Yeah, I do like the
day.
Lemon.
But this little witch's potion candle, okay, so it's all black. The wax is black too. It's also, the flame is black. No, I'm just kidding. But it's called Witch's Potion. It has a little potion bottle on the front.
So cute.
So cute. Anyways, tangent. Okay, so James Fox, criminologist at Northeastern University, he said murder by proxy, so whenever you decide to kill someone else, is usually the emotion driving it is rage. Suicide by proxy, whereas you kill yourself, is usually from depression or financial strains. And then murder-suicide is usually like a perverted form of love. Like, it, that is, so through like depression, and you feel like you have no hope for yourself, so then how could your family have hope? And so you decide to...
It's like, this world is terrible, so I'm going to take us all out because I love you so much.
I love you so much. That, and then I'm glad you said that because Catherine Ramsland, she's a professor of forensic psychology at DeSales University. She states that a suicidal frame of mind is very constricted, and people that are in that frame of mind, they don't see options. And so I do feel like that does carry over, that perverted form of love, where it's like, you don't see any options for yourself. And if you can't see any options for yourself, how could you see options for your family? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's super sad.
It is sad, but through researching these cases, I just had to try to figure out a... I mean, I know people are desperate and stuff, but it's so common. Like,
I didn't know.
Yeah. It's wild. It seems more like a pandemic, like desperation, instead of just like a one family, you know? Yeah. So that is our facts for today on murder suicides. And I think that we are going to tell you guys a little bit about Anchor and the Anchor app.
Yes.
And let's. Then go to our case.
We're back.
Hello. Okay, so this is the Zaccardi family murder-suicide. And on October 7th, 2019, a Zaccardi extended family member...
Oh, that was... Not very long ago.
It wasn't very long ago.
last time you did, in episode 2, the 8 started in the 1800s, so.
It did start in the 1800s. Yeah, so this one is much more recent.
Present day, okay.
Present day! This is not a historical murder-suicide.
But tell us, though.
Okay, do you still want to hear it? It was so recent.
I do want to hear it, but... Tell us about you trying to search out the statue from your last guy. Oh, yeah.
So, I really wanted to make Misty's wishes come true and find the picture of the Martin Bergen statue that people in... Was it Stanton? New Stanton, Massachusetts?
I cannot remember.
North Brookfield, Massachusetts.
And I don't care. Like, I know we don't really have any listeners right now because it's the beginning, and that's fine.
Right.
But when we get some, please, somebody that lives in Massachusetts, send us a picture. I want a picture of this. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's 2 years later.
So I tried finding Martin Bergen's statue in, oh, I think it was the county Stanton of Massachusetts or something. But anyways, so I couldn't find it. I kept finding, because his first name is Martin, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s first name is Martin. I kept finding
his statue. So they have a statue.
Well, it's in Bergen County. I forget what state.
But I kept finding.
Yes, because it was Martin Bergen. It was like the name search, the word. Yeah, so it is Black History Month, and I did, you know, get to look at lots of MLK statues, but I never found Mr. Bergen's statue, which we do feel like there should be lots of statues to MLK and no statues to Mr. Bergen. So I guess that's
I'm shocked, though, that there was a statue ever put up, and I just need to know, is it still there? 100 plus years later.
When I first saw this statues, like, because it was just like images coming up, and I was like, oh, there's no way. But then I was like, oh, okay, this makes much more sense, like the Martin and then Bergen County. But yeah, no.
I have to, what town was he from?
He was in New Brookfield, Massachusetts.
New Brookfield.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, North Brookfield.
North Brookfield.
Okay. I'm literally fixing to text somebody. And I don't mean to harp on this, and I should have did this last time, but...
I couldn't find it.
I have a friend that lives in Massachusetts, and I'm not familiar. I've never been there. So...
I have been, but I haven't been there. It's like in central... It's not in western where the Berkshires are. It's not on the coast.
I just texted my friend.
I guess
and
I'm
like,
to,
do you live near there?
I have lots of cousins there. I guess I need to just reach out to them and be like, hey, if you ever drive through here, there's a possible family annihilator statue there.
Well, hopefully if Jenna lives near, she can take a little road
trip. Yeah, it's a tiny state.
Snap a picture. Yeah.
Yeah. So I couldn't find it. I could not find it, but that's
Sorry
okay.
to get sidetracked.
Super sad about that.
Your supper smells so good, and I'm just...
Yeah, I've just steamed myself, like, checking on it. I thought that my daughter left the lid off, but anyways.
It just smells so good.
Before I add the dumplings, do you want some? I haven't tasted it, so I don't know if it needs seasoning or not. I'm making chicken and dumplings, because we're in Arkansas, y'all! But anyways, Misty doesn't eat carbs, so we'll have to add that
after. I'm going to have to Google keto dumplings now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there are some.
Oh, I bet so.
There's anything I Google.
What were you on Instagram making the other day that I was like, that shit looks real? The chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, yeah. I made chocolate chip cookies yesterday.
They
I meant to bring you some. And
I hate you for not doing that.
I forgot. Yeah, I made chocolate chip cookies yesterday.
Oh, well, I didn't find your statue and you didn't bring me cookies, so we're even. Okay, Joseph Zicardi. So on October 7th, 2019.
Where is this?
This is also in Massachusetts. Which, did you also notice that one of those, the one in seven of the murder suicides this year was in Massachusetts? Mm. Yeah.
There's something going on in Massachusetts.
I think it's the, not
it's
just
the cold
Massachusetts.
Weather.
It's the, right? That for sure.
Dead gum winners they have up there.
Yeah. But also just, the opioid epidemic has affected the northeastern part of the United States a lot, you know. But anyways, that feeling of desperation. Mr. Zicardi, Joseph, wow. I just feel like I need to start over now.
I apologize.
No.
Sorry.
I'm glad that you... I'm an interrupter, and so I appreciate the interruptions. But anyways, on October 7th, 2019, a Zicardi extended family member arrived to the Zicardi residence. Usually helped get the kids to school. And they noticed that Miss Deirdre, it has the R in the middle, D-E-I-R-D-R-E, so I don't know if it would be Deirdre or Deirdre.
Okay.
But she noticed that Deirdre was on the couch and had been shot, and so she called the police. And then arrival of the police, they found four other bodies in the home. So Deirdre was, on the couch and she had been shot. And then they found 9-year-old twins, Nathaniel and Catherine. And then they found 11-year-old Alexis. They had all been shot.
Aww.
Yes. And had all been, it was homicide. The four of their murders. So the wife and the three babies had all been shot by the father and husband, Joseph Zicardi, who had then shot himself.
Were all of them, she was on the couch.
She was on the couch. And I don't know where his body was, Joseph's. And then the children, I believe, were in their rooms.
Wow.
They had a neighbor. Will you bring that up? They did have a neighbor. And I've got her name in my notebook here somewhere. But anyways, the neighbor was up watching TV. Neighbor, Heather McNulty. Had heard very loud sounds like banging and had went outside to like check and see what was going on like on the street. But that gave them like a time frame. It had been like the night before.
Mm-hmm.
But late.
Yeah.
So upon investigation, a lot of people just feel like with this case and with a lot of murder-suicide cases, you just kind of have to speculate.
Mm-hmm.
But Deirdre and Joseph, they both attended the University of Massachusetts, Dartmouth, and he was a children's book writer. He killed his entire family and he wrote children's books. And interesting, whenever you Google his name, Misty, guess what comes up first? Not facts about the fact that he murder-suicided himself and his entire family, but his books that are for sale on Amazon. I'm not joking.
Really?
If you Google his name, just like wide open Google search. Yeah. So I just really find it interesting, and I don't really know how I feel about it, and I don't really want to speculate how I feel about it, but Marty Bergen, case from last week, he has a statue. And then this guy, the first thing you find when you look him up is his books for sale.
I wonder where the money goes.
I wonder what it is about these monuments to their lives. And I think maybe if there were like pictures of the kids came up first, maybe I would feel different. But it's like we have these lasting monuments to the perpetrator of the crime. Yes, it's like Mr. James Fox, the criminologist, said, like, it is like a perverted form of love with a murder-suicide. But at the same time, I just don't know how I feel about these monuments to these people's lives whenever it's a monument to the perpetrator as opposed to, like, the family. Because Deirdre Zaccardi, she was a very, very dedicated mother. She was on the school board. Mm-hmm. She posted about her kids a ton on social media, like, about their sports games.
Yeah.
The picture of her daughter, Alexis, the 11-year-old, was a dancer. Picture of her with her ballerina outfit on. She was on the school council. She was also on the town council. And she worked at EMI Strategic Management as an office manager for like 20 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, anyways, I just like that. Her best friend, well, not, I don't know if best friend, but Sarah Wall, they met in a, whenever she was pregnant with the twins,
mm-hmm.
the 9-year-olds, Nathaniel and Catherine, she met her friend Sarah Wall in like a multiple birth support group. And she said that Deirdre was just super, super funny, super outgoing, that Joseph was shy, but they were like a very dedicated family.
Mm-hmm.
And that they always had like a summer bucket list of things to do with the kids. And just some like red flags to this case, like how did this happen? Like I said earlier, from Catherine Ramsland, the professor for psychology, she stated that a suicidal frame of mind is very constricted. They don't see options, and it's possible that Joseph Zaccardi was looking through that glass. His career as like a children's book author was not super successful. And they did talk about some like financial strain, and his Facebook under employment, like where does he work? It was listed as unemployed and going crazy.
Oh,
right.
That's wild for somebody to put that up publicly.
I do feel like that's just like a unemployed. Sure.
I mean, if I got fired tomorrow, I may remove my job.
Right.
But I probably wouldn't put that.
No,
I would
that's
just leave,
a lot.
I would just leave a blank area.
Yeah.
None yeah. of business is probably what I'd put.
None of your business.
But
right. You'll know whenever I start working somewhere again.
Yeah.
So to me, that also does, especially because we live in a world where people do kind of put like, not necessarily like false, but like their world through rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, I was going to say you put out the good and not necessarily the bad.
Right, which is not a good thing. You know, people should share how they're actually feeling.
Mm-hmm.
But that had almost like a comedic twist on that. There was nothing like super glaring, though. That's what I kept reading mm-hmm. in different articles, that it wasn't super glaring, that there may have been some financial strain. But a lot of the strain seemed to be on Deirdre, because she was working, like, she had a commute into Boston. Abington, where they lived, is, like, a suburb.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was gone for, like, 12 hours a day, but still super dedicated to her kids, on the school council, on the city council.
She was super busy.
Yes, yes.
I wonder if she, I don't know what word to use, nagged him a lot, causing him more stress.
Maybe.
Like, I'm tired. I'm working all the time.
Right.
I'm running the kids around. I'm on the school board.
Right.
City council, whatever. Right. Like, you're going to have to do something. Like, these books are over.
I do wonder kind of what their, from the pictures on their, like, respective Facebook pictures, they looked super happy. But obviously that doesn't mean anything because, like we said, it's like a rose-colored glasses type of world that's usually put forward on Facebook.
Don't air your dirty laundry.
Right. But I was surprised by her dedication, like that commute and long hours, plus she's on the councils. And you have a family member, an extended family member that's coming over to take the kids to school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of feel like nagging him right now. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Take the kids to school. But anyways, he wrote more than three books, but three, like, in the recent years up to his death that you can buy on Amazon now. One is called Sammy the Once Sad Caterpillar. The next one, Day is Done, No More Fun. And then the last one he wrote, and it was published in April of 2017, was All Mixed Up.
Okay, I feel like the first one, he's trying to get off that caterpillar book that's popular. Mm-hmm. I don't have young kids anymore. What's it called? You know, the caterpillar
Yes,
book.
The hungry...
Okay. Yeah.
The hungry caterpillar.
The second one, The Day is Done, No More Fun, we could name this episode. And then All Mixed Up, he is completely.
All Mixed Up. And then 2 years later, he was unemployed and going crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are his books. You know, for like a struggling artist, I feel like the art on the covers of the books, because I looked at them, is actually very well done. Mm-hmm. Just gonna say that. I'm just putting that out there. I wonder if he got fired from a publisher. But I didn't see that anywhere. I couldn't even find that. I was surprised that if he was like an independent children's writer, because you've seen those books that are like local authors that just like have like, you
they
know,
self-published.
Yeah. They publish like 50 copies and it's very homemade looking.
Yes.
His books did not appear that way. So I have to think that he had a few published by like an actual publishing company. Maybe he was let go from that publishing company, and then he was trying to go the independent route, and it wasn't working out.
Mm.
Yeah. Deirdre was very busy. The kids were into a lot of sports and activities. They had their summer bucket list. They met in college. They both went to the University of Massachusetts at Dartmouth. And they both frequently like posted about their children. There was no note. There was no information left at the scene.
I hate that.
I know.
Like, tell me exactly why you do something.
But he was in financial strains, and
he was a writer.
He was a writer. But
sorry if y'all can hear me crunching celery.
He was struggling with his career, and the struggle was not like hidden. From what I could see, like, it was kind of public with like remarks that he would make, like the unemployed going crazy. And so besides those remarks, there was nothing glaring, nothing that was warning people about the situation, about what he had planned. It was never published in any article or anything what type of firearm that he used to commit the crimes.
So, did people think they were happy up to this point? Like,
yes, people thought they were happy. People thought, like, but from what I saw, and it could just be because he was the perpetrator of the crime, she had several friends step forward. Like, a friend from work stepped forward and talked about how amazing she was.
Mm-hmm.
She was on the school board. The school came forward and did, like, huge memoriams for the kids. Where they had, like, a memorial. Everyone wore the school colors. There was a quote from a little boy that said that, even though Nathaniel was dead, he would still be his friend. So it seemed like the community like really pulled together for the family and the mother, not so much for, and I don't know if it's because Joe did the crimes or just, yeah, you think?
I mean, if he was your bestie, you can't step forward and be like, he was a good husband and father, because He just shot them all.
Right.
I mean, there's nothing good that you can say about him at this
point. But quotes from their family, from what I saw, and I got my info from South Coast Today, ABC Boston, and there was another article. I don't have it written down. But the family, like extended family, on neither side ever made statements related to the case. It was just, please respect our privacy at this time. We would like very little media involvement. So either there are secrets that we're not aware of, or there weren't any. But the family, the extended family, refused to like speak to the media. So at the time of the crime, Joseph was 43 years old, and then at the time of her death, Deirdre was 40, Alexis was 11, Nathaniel and Catherine were 9, the twins. Yeah. And her pictures, Deirdre, like, because she sounded super busy, and like, I'm a mom and have a full-time job, and my kid is also very, very busy. Like, her pictures were just so, like, mom on the go, but, like, I always had, like, a smile and laugh on her face, and I just hate it. But anyways, let's see here. What else do I have information about the case?
I mean, hopefully they were all sleeping.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
If they were in their rooms. Maybe she was napping on the couch or something.
And she was sitting down, and, yeah, like, I don't think... But they never really explain, like, where in the rooms, like, if they were on the floor or not, like, where the kids were. So, yeah. Do you have any other questions or anything?
No. Did you Google crime scene photos? Or am I just sick?
I didn't, because I'm not super into that. I'm not super into that. But, you want to right now?
Yeah. What's the name, Zach?
Joseph Zaccardi, Zaccardi. And I'm sorry, I really find as I look at murder-suicide cases, there's not, like, they're not long.
Mm-mm. I'm sure it's just shocking to, like, it's a shocking thing, because if people knew, oh, you're fixing to kill my family and all your kids, somebody would step in, and then it wouldn't be a murder-suicide.
And there is a woman who started tracking murder-suicides in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to write down her name for another case. But she said, she's the one that said that the number one hallmark is domestic violence, especially unreported. And she said the only thing you can do is, because a lot of things, there aren't a ton of red flags.
Mm-hmm.
There's just one, or there's just as many red flags as you see with other people. The only thing you can do is that if you have... I know, I told you, they look super happy. Like, okay, so James Fox, the criminologist, he said that whenever you look at a crowd, the person who's going to commit a murder-suicide or a family annihilator, you will never be able to spot the family annihilator, really? Is what he said. Yes.
I don't know, I just see...
yeah, I didn't see
any. They're loading up a body into the van. But I don't see any crime scene. Not that we would want to see crime scene photos of,
but just
while they're there.
Yeah.
But I have looked at cases before after the bodies were removed,
mm-hmm.
and it was like crime scene photos. Right. Just of everything in the house. It was like everything on the kitchen cabinets, everything in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Just because they were trying to take pictures of everything for clues. But yeah, they looked super happy.
Yeah.
They're like really smiling.
Very smiling. And the kids, that's the thing, the kids look genuinely happy. There's a picture where the older girl is standing with both her arms, the one you just saw, arms around the little ones. Yeah. And the older one is a dancer, and she had her little ballet outfit on in one picture.
He's always making like goofy faces.
Right.
I imagine probably something happened that we don't know about.
Right. I do
feel
like...
Whether it was career-wise or maybe... I don't know. Something happened that triggered him to be like, there's no way out, or...
Most articles did, like, paint him as, like, a struggling author. Struggling children's book author, Joseph Zaccardi, murders entire family and kills himself. Like, that was the name of an article I read. And so I think that's that perverted form of love where his career was not going where he wanted it to. He hadn't published a book in 2.5 years. He didn't have another job, so he wasn't putting forth any income into the family. I feel like that's where that perverted form of love comes in. So he's in a depression. He's having financial strain. This world is too ugly for him. Oh, so it's too ugly for my kids too.
Yeah.
And something else I read, and it did not seem to be the case in this particular case, but in cases where people murder their children,
mm-hmm.
because murder can come as, is the emotion associated with it is rage, is what Catherine Ramsland, the professor of forensic mm-hmm. psychology, said. So rage at the spouse.
Okay.
People who murder their spouse will also murder the children of that spouse. In that rage cycle, looking at it as, oh, look, I'm murdering your children. And it does not matter whose kids those are. Typically, it's the person who murders them's children. Like, let's say Mr. Zuccardi was mad at his wife, Deirdre.
Right.
In his anger, he would kill their children. But his anger was causing him to kill his own children without him really, like, he wasn't killing them because they were his kids. He's killing them because they're her kids.
Yeah.
So, I found that interesting to learn that about the anger thing because yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just looking at...
She's in a picture spiral.
I am.
These are like super happy kids, or like super happy photos of this family.
Yeah. I typed in their name and I see them come up on Facebook, but that's just...
Did you see the books?
Did not see the books yet. I don't know. Yeah, they look super happy.
Yeah. Well, I'm really glad that the pictures and stuff are still out there and are still like a monument and a testament to the love that Deirdre definitely had for her kids. Mm-hmm. And like those comments and stuff are still out there where she's still expressing her
videos.
Love.
Videos.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And that's good for the family. That's one of the things I do love about social media is that when someone dies.
Yes.
I mean, their family right. can go back and look and be yeah. like, oh, look, they have 15,000 videos,
yes.
which, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean,
you may think at the time, like, gosh, this person posts so much, but then when something tragic happens, right. then you enjoy going back and looking at everything that they did post.
And it's a monument curated by the person themselves,
mm-hmm.
which we don't have that. Like, most people don't write their own obituary. Like, you know what I mean? And uh-huh. so it really is like a monument that a person creates for themselves, like of themselves.
Okay, so she texted back. She lives 35 miles, about an hour away.
That's from not North far.
So I'm going to ask her. Okay, so is there... I have fat fingers. Is there a statue of Martin Bergen? Is it Bergen? She said, why?
She's like,
she thinks I'm there. I'm not there, girl. I'm not there. Still there.
Oh my gosh.
I keep teasing her that I'm going to go because I need to go to Boston.
Yeah.
I need to go to, why am I keep having brain farts? Tell me where I need to go.
I don't know why you in particular. Is it something to do with the Revolutionary War?
No, it's a restaurant. Oh my gosh, we're gonna have to pick this up next week.
A restaurant?
What'd she say? She said, I don't know.
Well, next time she drives through. Oh, and we also just wanted to let you guys know that you can leave us a voicemail. Tell us about the case that keeps you up at
yes.
night the most, or if you have questions or anything you want to tell us about. We left the link in our bio on Instagram.
Yes.
And?
Which is Dying to Kill
_podcast. Yes.
I also shared the link on our Facebook page, Dying to Kill Podcast. So So click there and then it will just automatically let you record and then we'll be able to listen to it and yes. add it into a future episode.
Yeah. And I'm going to have my mama call and leave us a voicemail so she can tell us about her favorite case because Yay. She listens to the podcast now.
Yay.
Yes. I'm super excited about that so we can hear from y'all. Misty, what's one case that keeps you up at night?
Oh my gosh. Why do you ask me? I don't know.
Okay.
Any case? Murder, suicide?
No, just any case. Yeah.
Okay, so the most recent.
Okay.
Did we just talk about it?
We did. It's okay, though. You can write. Literally.
Only because
right.
I've read so much into it.
Right.
Because I knew the very day she became missing.
Ugh.
So I said this on the last episode, but her cousin is on my Facebook friends list. So she immediately shared the very same day, like, my cousin and her children are missing.
Yeah.
And so I shared the post and then immediately went to Shanann's Facebook page and started reading about it. And it was just very shortly after that we realized that he had killed him. So yeah. I think it's just because everyone did love him in the family. And everything that happened was in like such a short period. Right. Like everyone has their own thoughts, but he, I guess, fell in love with someone else. But it's really when she was gone to visit her parents for those 6 weeks that he had 6 full weeks with someone else, basically living like
because he a was couple. Pretending to be divorced and like
yeah, yeah. So yeah. when you basically live with someone else like a couple
mm-hmm.
and your family is in another state, it's easy to remove yourself from that.
Yeah.
But before I keep almost knocking my cup over. Before that time period.
Yeah.
Everybody says he was fantastic. I mean, you can see it from all the videos.
Well, because she was a huge social media person.
Yes, yeah. Because she was in... Yeah.
She sold something. Like Vitalife
Thrive. Yeah.
Whoa! So, Thrive!
Is that what it's called?
No, I mean, it's just... I have no idea, but...
Is that what it's called?
Everybody uses Thrive. Yeah. Yeah.
So, she was always on there.
Right.
Which leaves a lot of good videos for the family, but a lot of those videos have him in it because everybody said he was fantastic.
Yeah.
That's fantastic dad.
Fantastic. Yeah.
So anyways, that was just kind of crazy because in such a short time, you can kill your family. Like, that clearly they loved each other in earlier videos.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's wild.
Yeah. Ed Kemper has always freaked me out. Is this... serial killer of women
mm-hmm.
and his cases just super freaked me out always. And then I just think the Moore's murders too, which I think I mentioned on the intro, but they super freaked me out too. Those cases are wild to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so in other platforms you can find us on, Gmail is our email, dyingtokillpodcast@gmail.com. And then our Patreon is dyingtokillpodcast, Facebook dyingtokillpodcast, and Instagram again is dyingtokill_podcast. So, this case was a little short, but I don't know, it just kind of pulled at my heartstrings. I think the pictures of the kids.
I know.
She's like, oh. Yeah.
They look so sweet. They look and like the a mom. Happy family.
Like, yeah. She just looks like your typical awesome
with like
mom.
A genuine smile. Like, she's super genuinely happy.
Yeah. I think that's what pulled me in was, like, the... Just that happy, genuine energy that she was putting forth. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Be safe out there. And we will talk to y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye.